Aaron is speaking about the rightness of oneness. And before I start, I just want to remind you of what Andre and Dion have been speaking about the last couple of weeks. Andre has been speaking about grace, and then Dion spoke about holiness. And if we're living in holiness, we're available to the Lord. That's really what I took from, for me personally, what I took from what Dion said. If we want to be available for the Lord to work in us and through us, then we need to be holy. And what I'm going to speak about today is one of the things that the Lord has put in place to aid us to get to that place of holiness, and that is oneness or unity. So what I'm going to try and show you that oneness is the will of God for the church and for us. If you just define the word oneness, it means singleness or concord. Concord means harmonious agreement, okay? Another word for oneness could be unity. And if you think about a unit is one of a thing. But a unit can be an assembly, like the human body is an assembly of cells, assembly of organs. The organs in themselves are assemblies of cells, and they together make the whole, the body. If you look at a motor car is an assembly of different components, which are also in themselves assemblies which are, form units. So if you take, for example, the steering wheel is a hub. It's got some spokes, and it's got a rim, and it's got some padding, and it's got some covering. But on its own, it's completely useless unless you want to put it on your wall as a decoration. And in fact, if you have removed it from a motor car, the motor car is completely useless because you can't steer the thing. So every part of the motor car has a part to play, and it's essential. Without any part, that motor car is useless. So that's, again, oneness means the concord, the harmonious agreement, or the harmonious wholeness, if you like. Okay. If you think about the human body, which we've just described, would you agree that that's a good picture of the body of Christ, the church? I think it's a fair one. There are a lot of scriptures which talk about the church being the body of Christ, and I'm not going to read them, but we will actually read from Romans 12 later. But if you look at Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4 and 5, and then if you look at Ephesians 5:23 and Colossians 1:18 and 2:19, you'll actually see that Jesus is described as the head of the body. And if you want those scriptures, I can give them to you later on. So to summarize oneness, where there's oneness, the component parts of the unit or body are in harmonious agreement and act together for a particular purpose. Okay, that's step one, defining oneness. Okay. Is unity or oneness God's will for us today? John 17, verses 20 to 23. Jesus was praying just before he was betrayed by Judas. And he said, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. And do you think that includes us? Are we here because of the testimony of the disciples? Yes or no? We are. Of course we are. So that prayer of Jesus is for us as well. So my prayer for all of them, us, is that they will be one, just as you and I, that is Jesus and his Father, are one. Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe you sent me. So there you see that the world will believe that Jesus was sent to the world, to the earth, because we are in Christ. Okay? I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know, again it's repeated, that you sent me and you and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Okay. So we can definitely appropriate that prayer. There's no doubt about it. We've said it's not only for the disciples who were there, but the people who would believe because of their testimony. So we can appropriate that. That is God's will. Oneness with him and oneness with the rest of the body is his will for today. One of the things he says in verse 22, I have given them the glory you gave me. And my opinion of what that glory is that we've been accepted by God and that we receive his approval and love. And if you look at Matthew 3, verse 17, it says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, and I am fully pleased with him. And that was the Father speaking to the Son on the occasion of his baptism. Jesus went to be baptized just like we're supposed to do as a step of obedience. And in obedience, his obedience pleased the Lord so much, his father so much, that that's what he said. This is my beloved son, complete acceptance, and I'm fully pleased with him. Okay, so that's my personal opinion of what the glory is. I'm not saying it's scriptural, but that is my personal opinion. Our response of love towards the Lord should be to obey him and submit our whole lives to him. And that's, I'm going to show you in this scripture, 2 John 5, verses 5 and 6. And this is what John was speaking to a particular little church, or I think it was a little church. Now I want to urge you, dear lady, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we had from the beginning. And that is true. If you look at the Ten Commandments, what is the first commandment? Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor is yourself. So that's from the very beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. So love means doing what God has commanded us. In other words, it requires obedience of us. Love requires that we obey the Lord. And what we are needing to obey him in is loving one another, just as we were commanded in the Ten Commandments. And something that occurred to me when I was thinking about this is that I know Dion has a series on love, and I'm really hoping that he's going to preach it one day, because we actually really need to understand what love is, because the world today sells love so short. What is sold or described as love in the world today is not love. It's very much short of it. And we need to understand what God's standard is, or what godly love is, so that we can start to express that kind of love. That's very important. But if we don't understand love yet, then actually obey him because you're afraid of the consequences of not obeying him. And okay, maybe that sounds radical, but it's true. I would say, rather than be disobedient, obey God, because if you're disobedient, the consequences are eternal death, separation from God. Okay, if God's glory is on us, there's no room for our own glory, and I really like that, because God is a jealous God. He will share his glory with no one. And he looks for us being, he wants our hearts to be humble. Okay, so we mustn't take advantage of what he has given to us and use it for our own purposes. What we've got, all the gifts we have, our entire lives, in fact, are his. And we've been created for his pleasure. So anything that we do that takes away from that purpose or serves any purpose other than that does not please the Lord. Okay? So, to summarize, sorry, it was up there. It is God's will to live for us to live in oneness or unity with him and one another. That was the second statement. Is there a unity that does not conform to the Lord's standard? One of the things about unity, if you take a group of individuals, you think of a sporting team or anything like that, a group of individuals working together in harmonious agreement will achieve far more than the sum of the individual efforts. And I know that's been said a lot, but it's true. We've seen it proven over and over and over again. And if we read in Genesis 11, the Lord created, and then he got mad at the people because they were so sinful, so he wiped them all out with a flood. And there were only 8 people who were saved through the flood. And those people multiplied as they were supposed to, and they became more and more and more. They spoke one language, and they were all in one place. And they decided that they were going to build a city. And in that city, they were going to build a tower that would reach to heaven. And so the Lord came down, and that's what he said. Look, he said, if they can accomplish this when they've just begun to take advantage of their common language and political unity, just think of what they will do later. Nothing will be impossible for them. Now, that's God speaking. Okay? So it's a very real picture of the power of unity. It's in a negative sense in that particular scripture, but that is a picture of the power of unity. So what we can learn from that is the unity that does not conform to his standard is where people unite to serve a purpose other than their God-given one. Okay? So with that being so, what kind of unity does enjoy God's approval? Now we can read Romans 12, 1 to 5. And sorry, it's a long one, but it's necessary. And so, dear brothers and sisters, he's speaking to the church. He's not speaking to people in the world. Brothers and sisters, the church, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? And that's so real. What has Jesus done for us? He went to the cross for us. He has given everything. He laid down his life for us So actually, it's not too much for us to do the same, to imitate him, to actually lay down our lives for him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. So we need to let the Lord transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. And that's true. People will often tell you that you are what you think. You behave in the way that you think. Now, how do we do that? We need to listen. And how do we listen? We listen to the Holy Spirit. If we want to really get in touch, we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so we have a proper communication channel. Sorry, I've lost my place. Okay, there we are. As God's messenger, that's Paul speaking again, I give you each of this warning. Be honest in your estimation of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. And that actually says everything I want to say today. The last verse particularly, we're all parts of his one body. There's one body, Christ's body, the church. There's one church. But each of us has a different work to do. We are unique. We are made for a purpose, a God-given purpose. We are not mistakes. We've been made for now, for here. And God has a purpose for us, and it's in the church. Okay? And we belong to each other. So I don't belong to myself. I don't only belong to Diana. I don't only belong to Jesus, but I belong to you and you and you as well, because we're in one body. Just the same as my finger belongs to my hand, which belongs to my arm, which belongs to my body. Exactly the same. Okay, it's very, very important to get that. I think one of the things for me that's vital to take out of the scripture is that unity or oneness is not conformity or sameness. And it's vital to understand that the world would have us conform, and that's the root of racism and all sorts of ugly things like that. That's where that comes from. It isn't unity, it's conformity. The world preaches conformity. If you think of people who try to look a certain way, they wear certain clothes, they subject their bodies to bulimia and things like that just to look a certain way, all because of what? They want to look the same as the world standard, and that's conformity. That's not unity. Be very careful of anything that tries to make you look the same as anybody else. Tries to group you into you are a. Just run away from that stuff. It's really not God at all. Okay. Again, the importance of that is every one of us has that unique and essential. Remember, your role is essential. Kubus, you are here with a purpose, and it's essential in the kingdom. If you don't do it, nobody can do it like you can do it. Absolutely no one can do it the same way. If I fail in my role, the Lord will raise up other people who will do what I was supposed to do, but it'll be in a different way. I think it's Reinhard Bonnke speaks of something like 8 people who were called before the Lord called him. I hope I've got that right. Somewhere around there. But Catherine Kuhlman, who was a great healer, had a huge healing ministry. She too, she said, Lord, why did you choose me, a woman, in a man's world? And he said, I chose lots of men, but they wouldn't obey me. But you, your heart, is to obey me. And that's why you're able to do this. Okay. Very important. So, the kind of unity that enjoys the Lord's approval is where we don't lay down our individuality or uniqueness, but we do serve the Lord's purpose in and through his body, the church. Okay, so what we do is in the context of church, always. Okay, so what's the blessing of oneness or unity? One of my many favorite scriptures is Hebrews 10:24 and 25, and that reads, I love the New Living Translation, it's so beautifully put. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds, and let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. So there you have encouraging one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And the other translation talks about spurring one another on or provoking one another to good deeds. But I really like that, outbursts of love. And it's so true. If you think of when you've really accomplished things or been in a good place with the Lord, when has it been? It's been when you've been part of a body that have stood by you, stood with you, encouraged you, built you up, really been yeah, there is no better place to be. I think that, I probably shouldn't talk about Amgona, but in Ceres, when we were there, we were there for only about 2 years, but we made such good friends and such good relationships. And Paul, the pastor there, and I became very good friends. I really love that man. But we would do exactly this. This is one of our favorite scriptures. We provoke one another to love and good deeds, and it was really great. I did things that I would never have done. We went to pray in a school one day, just the two of us. We asked them if we could go and pray there, and we did. We went and we prayed, and we anointed all the desks and things. And it was just amazing what happened, the manifestations that happened after that. And that was because we provoked one another. That's what we need to do in the body. We need to hear what the Lord wants to do, catch his heart, and then encourage one another, provoke one another, go for it, go for it. Be a fool if you want to. Doesn't matter. Just God's will, God's way is better. His way, he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. His plan is best. Just provoke one another in that. Really do. Another thing that is a blessing of oneness or unity, if you think about Ephesians 5, I think it is, which talks about clothing yourself with the full armor of God, one of the things we do is we have the shield of faith. But you also have the sword in your right hand. So the shield of faith is in your left hand, which is normally slightly less mobile or, you know, active than your right hand. And it's not a very big shield, and it's supposed to put out the flaming arrows of the evil one. The evil one's pretty powerful, and he sends some pretty big fiery arrows sometimes. If you're on your own, you're actually doing very little bat defending, looking out for fiery arrows, and, you know, you miss some. But if there are two of you and you're back to back, you're already, your backs are covered. So there's a whole lot more chance of getting through, but you're still going to be defending all the time. There's not really any time for eating or resting or anything. But when there's a group of you, and a whole lot of you have shields of faith, and you're exercising, then you can spell one another. People can take rest. People can go and eat. People can actually do some building work as well. So, yeah, that's one of the blessings of oneness and unity. If you think about the walls of Jericho, the city of Jericho, the first city that the people approached when they went into the promised land, Canaan, the walls fell because they obeyed the Lord as one man. When they marched around that city, they were instructed to march around the city 7 times, 7 days, one after the other. And on the last day, they shouted, and the Lord crushed the city just like that. But he did it because they were united. The priests marched, the army marched behind the priests, and the people marched behind the army. And they didn't say anything, they didn't say a word until they were told to shout on the 7th day. And because they were obedient, completely, implicitly obedient as one, the Lord moved and he crushed that city. Okay, so the blessing of oneness is personal and corporate safety and fulfillment. If you think about church, it is a safe place. If you're in church, you are safe. If you're a Lone Ranger, you're in a scary, scary place, a very dangerous place. What is the cost of unity? An important consequence of the definition of unity is that it may be seen that agreement cannot be reached by the component parts without relationship and vision. So that's goals and leadership. This implies that anyone in the body will need to submit not only to the headship of Christ, but to one another. It will also often mean that one has to put personal desires and dreams on hold while serving the Lord's agenda. But that's okay, because he sees the big picture and knows best anyway. And then another thing which is very important, and we all need to get this, we need to remember that the Lord will normally require us to serve the vision that he's given to another person before he'll approve us to carry a vision for him. That's absolutely vital. He will want to prove us trustworthy before he will allow us to step into any kind of position of leadership in the church. That's a principle. So the cost of unity is submission and the laying down of oneself, one's own desires and plans. Okay? What should be done when there's not unity in the church? That's what's got to be done. But I'm going to talk about it a bit first. Disunity is like cancer in the human body. If you think of a cancer, Johan would be able to tell us, so I hope you'll correct me if I'm wrong. But a cancer it starts off as a couple of cells, I suppose. And these cells become a part of your body. and they start feeding on your body, and they grow and they grow, but they actually serve no purpose whatsoever. They have no role to play at all, no productive role to play. All they do is draw from the body and occupy more and more and more of the body. They take up more and more space, and they destroy the organs and the flesh and the bones and everything around them. They completely destroy them. And ultimately, if it's not checked, if it's not completely removed, the host or the body will be destroyed completely. It will die. And the cancer dies too. And I mean, that's such a picture of Satan, isn't it? Satan brings division, he sows death, and in the end he's going to die too. He doesn't do anything productive, he doesn't do anything good. And the only cure for cancer is to cut it out. And when you cut cancer out, there's always collateral damage. You can't take just the cancer cells out. You need to take the healthy flesh or body around it out as well, just to make sure that none of the cancer is left behind. Is that right? And then often people have to go through chemotherapy as well, which is a terrible process where chemicals are used to kill whatever they may be left floating around, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. So the key would therefore clearly be, as soon as the cancer is diagnosed, remove it immediately, because the longer you leave it, the more damage there's going to be, and the bigger the damage, the bigger the pain that is going to be suffered. So that scripture says, if anyone is causing divisions among you, okay, what is the opposite of unity? Division. So if anyone is causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing more to do with that person. And that is what we need to be doing in the church, because the moment we compromise, that song we sang tonight was awesome. The moment we compromise, we say, well, actually, we really like the way he tithes, or we really like the way he carries chairs, or like the way he, I don't know, plays the piano or something, whatever. As soon as we do that, we are actually making that person a god. We're saying that person is more important than God. We need to be aware. That is such an important scripture. It really, really is. We need to really act on that. Another thing about that, the 10th or last core value of Shofar East London speaks of team ministry, and it speaks of how all or none enter the promise. And the example is used, I think Andre used the example of the Israelites in the Promised Land, where Joshua and Caleb were faithful, they came back with the right witness, but the guys didn't want to go in, so nobody could go in. The Lord didn't allow anybody to go in. And there's another example which I really like, and that's in Acts. Paul was being transported to Rome in chains. He was captive, and he was being transported to Rome. And he was put on a ship, and he said to the crew on the ship, don't set off because the ship is going to be wrecked if you go. And they wouldn't listen. They said, no, we're going. We're sailors. We know what's going on. They set off, and of course, there was a huge storm, and the ship started breaking up, and they were all in panic. And he said to them, it's all right, I've spoken to my Lord who I serve, and he says, if we all stay together and we stay on the ship, he will save every soul. Not one person will be lost. And they went on through the storm. So they were really tested. They went through the storm. The ship was breaking up. They threw the cargo overboard. And so it went on. Eventually, they smelt land. And the sailors said, oh, it's land. We know. And they started sounding. Some of the sailors put a boat over the side, and they were going to escape. And he said, no, come on. Back on board. The Lord said, you all stay on the boat, otherwise somebody's going to get killed. So Paul saw the division. He saw these guys don't want to stay in the boat. So he said, hey, come on back. And the guys called them back, and they cut the rope on the boat so nobody else could escape. I think it's so great. So they identified the cause of disunity, and they cut it out. Gone. And every single person was saved. The ship was wrecked. It was broken up. But every single person survived that shipwreck. So it's a really good picture for me where that kind of thing can really hurt, and it's very hard to do. It takes a bold, courageous body of people even to warn, but to cause that person to be removed and have nothing more to do with that person takes a lot of courage, but it's sometimes necessary. The flip side of that is very important, and that is if the person repents and the fruit of repentance is in their lives, then they are to be welcomed back into fellowship again, back into the church. That's absolutely vital. We are not merciless. We extend the grace of God to everybody. Okay, just as he extended the grace to us, we extend grace to people who repent. I think one of the great things here is that Satan fears unity in the church. And that actually makes me want to establish unity in the church, because I actually hate Satan. There's nothing and no one in the world that I hate like Satan. When I see what he has done to my life in the past and people around me that I love, I have no time for Satan. And if I can do anything that will establish the church so that he is defeated, I want to do it. And I hope you guys are with me in that. So we need to be vigilant in recognizing his schemes and compounding them. Okay, so the bottom line, bottom line is that any cause or source of disunity should be addressed and, if necessary, removed. Right. How do we achieve oneness? There are two levels to oneness. Oneness with God and oneness with the body of Christ. And oneness with the Lord, the only way we can do that is by acknowledging and submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say we acknowledge him, who he is, what he has done. And we submit to who he is and what he's done. That is how we achieve oneness with the Lord. That's it. There's nothing else. There are no works we can do. There's nothing, no way we can earn it. It is simply a place of relationship. We need to submit to Jesus Christ. And then we are one with the Lord. Okay? The body of Christ, we pray for one another, particularly our leaders. And this is so important. Remember that prayer is a two-way thing. Prayer is listening to what God has to say and then praying, actually saying back to him. And our leaders, we need to pray for our leaders so much. And I'm talking not only in the church, but in the world as well. But in the church, we need to be praying for our leaders, because if we have a problem with any of the leadership in the church, we actually need to remember that we have the leadership in our church that we deserve. Okay? It's probably a whole lot better than we deserve, in fact. But if there are shortcomings, then it's because we're not praying. We're not embracing our responsibility to lift the people to the Lord. Love one another. And that, again, I feel almost guilty saying that, because I haven't defined love. And I can't define love. It takes too long. It'll take a whole lot of sessions to do that. But if we want to do that, then we need to perhaps understand, go and read the scriptures and say, how do I love? How, Lord, teach me how to love. And he will teach us how to love one another. Next one. Submit to our current calling and role. Now, this is so important. In any army, there are guards, cooks, armorers, mechanics, infantry. There are different ranks. We need to make peace with where we are now, with the call that the Lord has on our lives now. We need to understand that this is where he has placed us. This is our purpose here. We need to embrace that. When we do that, we will be found faithful to go on. But until we've made peace with it, until we've embraced it, we will never grow. We will never go on. So it's absolutely vital that we submit to our current calling and role. And then to stand, that's basically perseverance. Stick with it. Don't give up. Just stick with it. Stand. It's absolutely vital. Whether it's going well or going badly, stand. The next one, trust the Lord. Okay, I can think of no one better to trust than the Lord. There just is no one better. There's a picture I want to show you. This is a picture of a house that we built in the Kohl Wockerfeld about 10 years ago. This house is built on the top of a cliff that's about, I think, 18 meters high. And there's no road access at all. There's only foot access. Every single item in that house, and it amounts to about 300 tons, was carried up there by people, some of the people you see in that picture. And that particular element is a steel beam. It's 30 meters long, which is from that wine cabinet to the end of that door. It's about that long. It weighs about 800 kilograms. And there's not a proper kind of path or anything where you can use rollers. So we had to actually pick that thing up and carry it to get it there. It's about 100 meters from where it was. We got it with a tractor and all sorts of stuff. From where it was to there is about 100 meters. And we wrapped webbing. You can actually see some of it there. We wrapped webbing around, put pick handles through, and we had two guys at the same side, pairs of guys, along the length of that, well, actually at the front and the back. We had 18 people. And the pick handles were through our elbows like here, like this, the crook of our arms. Picked it up, and we carried it, 800 kilos. So it was about 40, 50 kilos a man. And that house taught me a lot. I haven't brought any other pictures except the final item. But one of the things it taught me was that I think at the most we were about 15 people on that site, and at least about 8. But at the end of that project, we had that, and it's a very ugly house, but it's actually really, the clients love it, and it's very successful. But it's something that was achieved because there was vision, and there was unity. The guys who carried that beam, They were friends of mine who were farmers who came to help me. They were their farm laborers who came to help me. They normally pick apples and trees, but they carried a beam that day. There were bricklayers who carried that beam. There were carpenters and painters. I helped to carry that beam. We all laid down our individuality in a sense to serve the goal, to serve the purpose of creating that structure. And that structure stands as a monument to probably 15 people who were prepared to stand together and serve someone else's vision. That's all I've got to say on that. I'd like to serve you with communion now, and I want to speak about it as we do that as well. Janice, can we have the bread? Thank you. When Jesus did this for the first time, the Last Supper, he took bread. And he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you." And I want you to really embrace this today. As you eat this, each little piece of bread that is eaten will still be a piece of this bread, but it will now be a part of your body. And I defy you, after an hour or so, to separate it from your body. You will not be able to separate it from your body. That bread has become a part of you, your body. And as you do that, just embrace oneness with Jesus Christ. Okay. I think hand it out, break it up, and then we'll eat together. Can you put up that last slide that's got all the orange writing? It's a summary. Yeah, that's it. You can put them all up. Perhaps as you are waiting, you can just read through these points, which are all the points I made. Just read them, think about them, make them part of yourself. Let's break bigger pieces. There's going to be a lot left. Everybody have bread. Just want you to pray for us. Lord, thank you. You knew exactly what you were doing. The Last Supper, when you did this for the first time and told us to do it every time to remember you every time we did it. We remember you today. We remember, Jesus, that you knew exactly what you were facing, and yet you still went for it. You still were prepared to go to the cross to allow your body to be broken, to give us access to the heart of the Father. And we are so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. You can eat. Thank you that this juice is a symbol of your blood that was shed to seal a new covenant. And And again, I'm just so overjoyed that I live in the time of the new covenant. And we all are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a new covenant that speaks of grace and mercy. And we honor you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. We can drink. I think everybody here is a Christian, but I just want to say that if anybody is here who has not come to that place of oneness with Jesus, then I want you to come now. Come now here to this place and let us pray for you. Let us lay hands on you. Give you the hand of fellowship. So if there's anybody here who's never ever given their life to Jesus, submitted to Jesus, then I ask that you would do that. Step out in boldness and courage now. I encourage you to do that. Lord, we so thank you that your plan is perfect. That when you thought about it, you saw the church, this great family of God, the body of Christ. And Lord, you are building your church. Jesus, we give you permission to build your church in East London. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. We really want to be a part of it. Guide us and lead us, Lord, please, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Michael. That was very, very blessed. I really enjoyed that. I want to encourage. I always do this, but I would take notes when somebody ministers. And Michael really shared some excellent scriptures that you can't just read it once and remember it. You actually need to go home and read through it and meditate upon it. So I want to encourage each of us to get a little booklet or something, but bring it on Sundays. And write down, if something speaks to you, write it down, some concept or something. It will bless you. Okay. We don't just come to be entertained, we come to be changed. And I want to just emphasize what Michael has shared. This is so critical. I once was involved in a church where it started off well. There was lots of unity and things happened. Things were going in the right direction. Then unity was lost. And it was nach. It was forbay. And it's the same with a marriage. The unity goes, it's over. A business, unity goes, it is over. A family, the unity goes, it is over. In a church, the unity goes, it is over. So this is really important. So I want to encourage you guys to join us with a community service, community seminar. Because there we're going to talk about what are our values, what is the vision, where are we going, and are you going to buy into it? Okay, let's just stand. I just want to pray for us to end off. Lord, we bless your name. As I'm going to pray now, I want us to evaluate our own hearts. Our hearts toward one another in this congregation. Our hearts toward the leadership. Our hearts toward what God is doing here. And to evaluate yourself, where do you stand? Is there unity? Is there agreement? Do we actually like one another? Or just sort of endure one another? Well, that's not unity. That's not biblical unity. And I almost daily, I say, God, give me a heart for your people. For every single one of them. God, to love them for who they are. And so you guys need to love one another in your cell group. Actually like one another, although the other people might be different. So I'm going to pray. Father, we just come to ponder the power of your this communion symbol, God, this bread that is broken but which is actually one. And Lord, I know that unity is so important, Lord. But God, it is something that you work in us, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you, as Michael said. Lord, I pray for each one of us to evaluate our hearts. And Lord, if there are areas in our hearts that are cancerous, areas in our hearts that are not right, God, that you'll come and remove that. God, that you'll come and heal our hearts, our minds, our thoughts towards one another, our words that we speak towards one another, God. Lord, establish a unity here that is unbreakable, indestructible, unstoppable, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. If you are convicted of a part or an area in your heart that you feel that needs to be corrected, just raise your hand as a sign to the Lord. I'm not going to call you forward. It's just you and between you and God. Just say, God, hey, my heart, this sometimes, God, it's not right. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, God, sometimes I get frustrated with people, Lord. And God, sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm that. So just raise your hand as a sign to the Lord. I just want to pray for you. After me, just repeat and say, Father God, Lord, I want unity. I want to be one with your body. I want to be one with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I acknowledge that in myself I cannot do this. But Lord, I want to. And so, God, this day I humble myself. I bow the knee before you. And I pray, Lord, that you would cut away the cancerous parts of my heart and establish your love. Establish, Lord God, your heart in me for your body. For my brothers and sisters. Lord, I submit to you. And I ask that you live through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Then if you pick it up, somewhere there in the spirit. You feel like something in your spirit's wanting to play along. Don't know if you feel it, but I sometimes feel that. God, have your way in our midst, Lord. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. Have your way in our minds, in our families, in our community, Lord. Have your way in our words, Lord. Have your way in our thoughts, Lord. Jesus Christ, reign and rule in this church and in our lives. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. We submit to your will, O God. Just to end off with, just take the hand of the person next to you. Hallelujah. Oh God, as we're taking hands, Lord, in the natural, God, I pray we'll take hands in the spirit. In the spirit realm, God, we pray for supernatural unity to be established. Lord, that your angelic host would surround this church. God, yes, we are few. Oh God, but a few can do great damage to the kingdom of darkness, Lord, when we are in unity. And so we pray, God, unite us. May we walk together. May we stand together. May we keep our eyes on Jesus and run this race. Lord, even as your word says, you have need of endurance. God, give us endurance to run this race, not looking back, not looking to the side, but running this race for our Savior, for the lover of our souls, for eternal rewards. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this mighty work that you are doing in our midst. And I just want us to end off by going to one or two people and to say to them, I esteem you higher than myself. Not your spouse. That's too easy. Just to go to someone, just say, I esteem you higher than myself. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen. Can we do that? As the band continues to play, and then you can just give somebody a hug. Amen.